Broadcasting this week from Atlanta. We're down to the Stayers on Radio Row because it's opening night next door in the basketball stadium where both teams will soon be presented. One man who will be there, he's in town covering the Patriots. They're his beat. Phil Perry is the Patriots reporter for NBC Sports Boston. Phil, it's my pleasure to have you on SEN.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Give us an insight before we talk the nitty-gritty. What's life like as a journo on the beat of one of the great sporting teams in history?
It's really difficult. You just have to cover win after win after win after win. No, it's fascinating. It's very fortunate that those of us that are covering the team get to cover the team. Me personally started covering the team in 2011. They made the Super Bowl last year. This is my fifth Super Bowl now. There are reporters I know from other parts of the country whose teams have never been to a Super Bowl that have covered those teams for a long time. So it's a lot of fun. It's really fascinating. There's always something happening with this team, whether it's on the field or off the field. And you obviously have interesting characters, whether it's Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, ownership, Rob Gronkowski. I mean, the list goes on and on. So it's a lot of fun.
Do you feel privileged to do it?
Totally. I feel lucky, really. I mean, you know, I just so happen to be raised in Massachusetts and liked to write and liked to cover sports and kind of worked my way up the ladder at our place. I work for NBC Sports Boston and so have been able to do it now for the better part of the last decade. It's really a series of right place, right time kind of things to be able to cover this team, but very lucky to be able to do so.
Boston's clearly a great sporting town. There are those from Melbourne who visit who sort of recognize some of what we cherish over there. How would you describe the sporting landscape in Boston and the affection for their teams?
Rabid. You know, it's the best place in the world to cover sports, I think, because the fans really keep us honest. If I don't know the 53rd player on the Patriots roster, 53 out of 53, and I don't know everything about his background and where he went to college and, you know, his middle name and his parents, you know, his mother's maiden name, then they'll get on me for it. And it's a great thing because it keeps you on your toes and you know the work that you're doing is going to an audience that's really going to soak it up as much as they can. And so for us, it's just a matter of how much can we give them, because it feels like everything we give them, again, gets just devoured.
Dynasty, longevity, so this is going to play heavily when the Patriots are finally assessed and the bookends of the Rams across these two Super Bowls. What were your expectations coming into this season after they'd been beaten in the Super Bowl last year?
I really felt like they were due for a step back, to be honest with you. There were some serious issues with this team from last year to this year. They lost their left tackle, who's Tom Brady's most valuable protector, really. Nate Solder, he went to the New York Giants. So they had a new player there. We didn't know how he would be. So, you know, then how would Brady be? Would Brady be taking more hits than normal? He was really down a number of receivers as well this year from last year's team. Actually, their best receiver last year was Brandon Cooks, who's now on the Rams. So they'll see him again on Sunday. But there was not a lot of talent there. And so I thought they were going to get a little bit worse. And they did in some respects, but they really adapted and they sort of redefined who they were. They've become a much more run-heavy team. And so their running backs, James White, Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead have become really an important piece of the team. Brady's still incredibly important, and we saw it at the end of the Patriots-Chiefs game, but they've become a much more hard-nosed, run-first type of operation.
Were there a couple of phases in the season, early and late in the regular season, where you thought, no, this is not a championship team?
Several. there were moments early. I was on the field in Jacksonville. It was about 110 degrees in Jacksonville, Florida. They lost to the Jaguars. They lost late to both the Dolphins and the Steelers, which is really a time of year when the Patriots play their best. Bill Belichick often uses that first month of the season just to kind of get loose, get warm, see what he has in a lot of respects. And so the losses in that part of the season weren't necessarily all that surprising. But the late season losses were head scratchers. Again, this is a team that should be, you know, basically winning out through December. Their record in December is incredible during Belichick and Brady's tenure. And so for them to lose those games late, we looked at it and we said, well, they've been a terrible team on the road. If they ever have to go on the road in the playoffs, they're going to be screwed. They end up going to Kansas City and obviously winning. And that's why you saw, I think, some of the emotion you saw after that Chiefs-Patriots game. Tom Brady, I think maybe the last time he was that excited on a football field was when Malcolm Butler made the game-winning interception a few years ago in the Super Bowl. But it was a rare show of emotion from Brady because they had been so bad at different points during the year.
What do you feel like you've learned about coach and quarterback during this campaign?
I think the coach has done as good a job as I can remember, really. Maybe as good a job as he's done since 2001, since the Patriots played the Rams, and that was Brady's first Super Bowl. That was a team that was not supposed to get there. This was a team that was not supposed to get there. In between, they've had a lot of teams that were expected to get there. And so I have a lot of respect for the job that Bill Belichick did this year, redefining, again, the offense. But defensively, too, he's taken an older group, especially in the secondary where you're dealing with speed week after week after week, and their older players back there, Devin McCourty, Patrick Chung, have been incredibly important, and they've done some different things. Their roles have changed over the course of the season as well to make them a Super Bowl team. And quarterback, he is baffling in terms of how he is able to withstand the punishment that comes with the season and finish the season strong, which he's doing now. Again, those losses in Miami and Pittsburgh, I'll go back to those. He was dealing with something. We think it was a knee injury. He was bailing out of throws. He was not accurate. He looked hurt. And the fact that he's been able to get himself healthy and look as good as he's looked in the last few weeks is, again, it's really hard for me to comprehend. And I've been around him the better part of the last 10 years, and it's still hard to believe.
How do you find the two of them to deal with? Belichick seems famously gruff, and Brady seems outrageously charming.
He is outrageously charming. That is a phenomenal way of putting it, and I'm going to start saying that. That's nothing like anything we would say in New England, but I am going to start saying it. He is very generous with his time, and he has a certain number of reporters who have been covering the team for 20 years who he knows a little bit better than he knows some of us who are a little bit younger, but he still will stop for just about anyone in the locker room these days if you have a question, and he'll do his best to answer it and answer it thoughtfully. There were a couple of years in there during the Deflategate period, and he was dealing with a lot, and he felt like he was unfairly treated by a lot of the media where he really was not available. But the last few years have been much better with Brady. And Bill is a fascinating character to get to know. And I feel like I have gotten to know him a little bit in the last few years. And he has been really, I try to tell people this as often as I can, because his image is what it is, it's very surprising for people to hear when I say he has been really helpful to my career. He's been really helpful to a lot of people who have covered the team, their careers as well. There are different ways to go about trying to talk to him. You're not always going to get the best answer out of him at a podium in front of a microphone. He's putting on a face a lot of cases when he's doing that. And he's sometimes sending a message to his team in case any of them might be watching or reading the paper or what have you, listening to the radio later on. The best time to get him is when he steps off the podium and he's walking to the locker room and he's in the tunnel at Gillette Stadium. And he, you know, maybe it's later in the week and he feels like all his preparation for the week is pretty much done and he has a little bit of free time. You go through the right channels, you might be able to get 10 or 15 minutes or even more. I've sat with him and he's just, you know, plopped it down on a golf cart and we've talked football for almost a half an hour. And he's been really helpful with certain stories that I've written about him and about other subjects. And the conversations go in all sorts of different directions and he's really funny. And he will question you. He will challenge you in terms of the things you're looking at. And so those are some of the most fascinating conversations I've had in my career. And it's not like they happen every week, you know, once or twice a season if you're lucky, but they do happen. And so it's not all what you see on TV or hear over the radio in terms of just how gruff he is, which can be extremely gruff, as we know at times, yeah.
How will history judge them as a pairing, sort of in all of, not just U.S. sports, but really in world sport?
I think you might have a better perspective than I would in terms of internationally, but I think here, when you look at the NFL, football has really become America's pastime. We've called baseball America's pastime for 100 years, but it really has become football. People build their lives around weekends where their team is playing, and they try to get everything done on Saturday so they could just sit in front of the couch on Sunday and watch. And so in that sport, in this era, in an era in which the rules make it very difficult to compete at a high level year after year based on the salary cap and free agency and how the draft works, it is really difficult to stay at the top. And yet they've done it. And there are maybe a couple of other pairings, coach and player, here in the States that I would say approach it. You know, Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan, I would say, are up there. You know, whether it's Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson or Kobe Bryant and Phil Jackson, you know, those are probably in the same conversation. But I think this sport, the number of championships they could end up winning here, and if you look at it, they're really not that far from having, you know, maybe 9 or 10 rings if a couple plays go a different way. I would put them right there at the top in terms of player-coach pairings.
What do you have as the storylines of Super Bowl 53?
Well, I think the coaching matchup is really fascinating. Those guys aren't going to be on the field at all, obviously, but when you have the 33-year-old Sean McVay against 66-year-old Bill Belichick, you have two of the smartest people in the sport coaching against one another and battling each other, because Belichick is really a defensive genius. He coaches the offensive side of the ball as well, but that's really where his bread is buttered defensively, whereas McVay is the complete opposite. He's an offensive guru. And so what does McVay do to confuse Belichick? What will Belichick do to confuse McVay? There are some things the Rams do that I think will be really interesting to watch offensively that'll make it hard on the Patriots defensively. They like to play man-to-man coverage, the Patriots do, defensively, which just me, it's like being in the playground. I got this guy, you've got that guy, and I'm just going to stick with him as closely as I can the entirety of the game. It's really hard to do that against the Rams because of the different schemes that they use, and they force you to run into each other at times. They use the entire field. They have some of the fastest players in the league, so it's hard to stick with them. So that really, to me, is you have these two really creative minds. One is half the age of the other. McVay just turned 33, Belichick's 66, and you have two very different styles. That, to me, is the most interesting storyline this week.
The past 24 hours, there's sort of two standout quotes. The first was Brady saying, zero chance that this is it.
Zero, and he put the fingers up there for you just in case anyone had it on mute, I guess. I believe him. He said now for almost a calendar year that he wants to play until he's 45. The only reason we question him at all is because last offseason there were some questions that Brady announced to the world. He did his Facebook special, Tom versus Time, and a lot of that was how he trains and how he stays as healthy as he does. But a lot of it was about his motivations and why he, you know, is so passionate about the sport. And at the end of that documentary, he left a lot of people in New England very nervous, because he said to the camera, basically, you know, we have to start asking ourselves, why are we doing this? Why am I working so hard? Why am I fighting through these injuries to play this game if it's not everything I want it to be? And his wife, Giselle, saying, you know, he just wants to have fun and be appreciated, implying he's not having fun and he doesn't feel appreciated. And so people got nervous. But since then, he's started to walk that back and really devote himself to this idea of playing to 45. Now, will he get there? That's a long way away still. But, you know, given how he played this year, aside from when he was a little bit injured, I think he has a good 3 or so years in him. So I don't know if he'll get to 45, but I think he'll get close.
Will Boston change forever when he retires?
Boston will be very, very sad for a very long time when he retires. The Patriots will change for a very, very long time. They will be changed forever. There is no successor in sight to Tom Brady, and it's always hard, regardless of the sport, to be able to find the next great player or the next great coach. But it's as hard in this sport to find a quarterback as it is to find X position, just about any other of the four major sports here in the States. And they have a serious challenge ahead of them, the Patriots do, because good quarterbacks just don't become available. You can't go and just spend on one, because usually the teams who have them give them all of their money so that they'll stay. So you have to try to draft one out of college, and that is a total crapshoot. It's a total gamble year after year. And so we'll see. I mean, they got Brady in the 6th round, you know, 20 years ago almost. Will they be able to do that again? I doubt it. You know, even get a you know, representative quarterback in the 6th round would be very difficult. But that's got to be their focus, the franchise's focus, moving forward the next couple of years here, is to find that next guy.
The other quote was Nickell Robey-Coleman, who is the central figure as the defender in what's been called the worst call in sports history. Is he openly taunting Tom Brady?
It feels that way, doesn't it? It's not the smartest move, I don't think, to say that. I don't want to misquote him here, but effectively his age is getting to him. Not wise, because even if Tom Brady is the most motivated athlete we've ever seen, which is certainly the case for me personally, and a lot of people, even if he's that motivated, he's that dedicated to every single day making himself a better football player, a very small quote from a relatively lower tier player. He was certainly in the middle of it all in that Rams Saints game. You mentioned the no call there, but he might be the Rams 20th best player. Even a player of that magnitude will rankle Tom Brady, and he will use it as motivation. There have been players over the years, whether it was at the Steelers or the Dolphins, and occasionally you get these guys who don't think that anything they say is going to end up mattering to Brady, and it does, and he refers back to it later. And so I think Nickell Robey-Coleman made a little bit of a mistake calling Tom Brady out before the Super Bowl.
Phil, it's great to meet you. Good luck with your week.
Thank you so much, and good luck to you, and I hope you have a phenomenal time here in Atlanta.